Coming up on Which Way Is Life, episode number 4. My guest today, Ashley Koff. Learn how to shop at the grocery store, what to look for when reading food labels, and the 3 steps of health. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
So excited to have Ashley Koff on the show today. Ashley is an internationally renowned registered dietitian who helps lead the national conversation on better nutrition as a speaker, author, media, and industry expert. Some of her many highlights include being selected among CNN's top 100 health makers. She is a regular on the Dr. Oz show, a contributor to GMA Health and CBS The Early Show, and frequently featured in the New York Times, InStyle, Prevention, Red Book, Women's Health, Shape, and Oh, the Oprah magazine. She is also the creator of Better Nutrition Simplified and is co-author of Mom Energy, A Simple Plan to Live Fully Charged and Recipes for IBS. Ashley, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate it. Can you tell us, let us in on your personal life. Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Thank you. Well, so you're catching me up in Maine, and I have a lovely chocolate labradoodle sitting at my feet. And some of the fun things that we love to do are go out on the water, go for a hike. There's so many islands and things here. And then I'm really lucky to have I have 2 amazing brothers, and my younger brother is a fly fishing guide, and he turned me on to fishing and fly fishing. And I love that. And then my final other piece is I am an obsessive basketball fan. I say to people, it is a hard job to be a 6th man when you're as intense about it as I am. So in basketball season, you get maybe a little bit less of the health mantra from me because I might be up till 1 or 2 in the morning now that I live on the East Coast watching West Coast games. So I love my basketball.
How cool is that? So you're an outdoors woman. We love that. And you got to give me the team. You're a hoops fan. Who do you cheer for?
I am a diehard Duke fan. I went to Duke, so college, there is no other team. The interesting thing is when you get to the NBA, it really is about the players and the coaches. And so I actually don't align specifically with a team as much as I do with different players, except this is the greatest season ever because I have been a lifelong Cavs fan. And in addition, we had obviously LeBron, who is amazing, who I even stayed a fan of his when he went to Miami. I did not hate on him for that decision. And of course, Kyrie Irving played at Duke a little bit. So this was the greatest year with the Cavs pulling it out. And I'm so excited. We've got at least 3 more years, I think, of championships in the making. So very fun.
Well, Ashley, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
Yes.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Sure. So this is an absolute must for everyone, and it is to reduce the amount of information you are taking in, I will say specifically around nutrition. We have a quantity of information problem. I say that we are almost all afflicted with infobesity. So reduce the quantity, improve the quality.
Trying to make it simple makes it much easier for most of us. But, you know, we all want good health, and maybe this plays right into it. And we know that we should be healthy, but why is getting healthy and staying healthy so darn hard?
Getting healthy can often be extremely challenging, especially when we become an adult and we have developed habits that are ones that we will have to replace with other habits in order to get healthy. So if we have put habits in place that are deducting from our health, including our nutrition, it does mean that we are actually going to have to create new habits to replace them. And that we all know that. That is really a tough thing to do. So that's why it is so important to start with children and to start at a young age trying to build better habits. And I think, Bill, if we think about it, there's almost a pyramid. And at the bottom of the pyramid is just functional health, being healthy. The next level is going to be better health that I was talking about. That's fueled really by better nutrition. And the top of the pyramid is optimal health. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the messages that are out there being delivered to people who really are trying to be at that first or even that second tier of health, but the media messages or the book messages that they're getting are really written for an audience of somebody who's at the top. And that really sets up a challenge with what you actually can and should be doing.
Well, that's why it's so tough to get there. You have a functional health, better health, and then optimal health. We all want that top of the mountain. We all want that optimal health, Ashley, but boy, it's just tough to get there. So break this down for us a little bit. You're a registered dietitian, one of the best in the country. Help us out first when we're in the grocery store. Standing there, I got my cart.
Sure.
I'm walking through the aisles. I'm seeing rows and rows of food and stuff. Help us out. What should we pay attention to when we're in the grocery store?
So the first thing that I will tell you is go into the grocery store with a clear agenda. And I know people say don't go into the grocery store hungry. You know, I wish that life was designed that way. But if you go into the grocery store hungry, I will tell people that we want to resolve your hunger before you go grocery shopping. So that's great. Like go, you know, if you love an apple or if there's a bar that you do like and you know it's good quality, you know, or one of these things. I have a client that just loves the sushi at her grocery store and it is good quality. And I always tell her, I'm like, go get a roll. Have a few bites of that, and then take a look at your list. And having a list is really important. It's like having an outline of a training session. If you're, again, I'll use the athlete because I'm really talking about next level performance here, but that we all should be performing at this level. So one of the things that I teach people about when they're making up their grocery list is look at the things that you want to have in your home. And I want you to have produce. I want you to have fruits and vegetables, all the different colors of the rainbow, in as many different places in your kitchen and in your home as possible, because that increases my likelihood of knowing that you are going to consume them. So that's going to be a place that's going to be really important. I would like you to purchase a rainbow of colors of fruits and vegetables. So I have people who have said to me, you know what, Ashley, I don't like tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes. I'm like, okay, let's check out red peppers. All right, if you don't like red peppers, what about strawberries? But just try to make sure that each week you're purchasing an item from the rainbow. The second thing to think about is the front of the package is the story that it's like dating. It is the story that somebody wants you to know about them. All the things that they want you to know about them, they want you to like them a lot. You have to turn over and you have to get to know what's actually in there. And so the important part there is if you don't have time to do that, you can either do that work at home or reduce the items that you're just grabbing that you're not actually paying attention to the back. Because, you know, when you see like, oh, this yogurt, you know, contains more probiotics than anything else, it's going to give you your vitamin D. And, oh, yeah, it tastes like Oreos. In fact, it's made with Oreos. You're like, oh, my gosh, this is so awesome. This is like a health food, you know. Then you flip it over and you realize not the case.
Yeah.
So it's really, yeah, it's important to avoid that part. The other part, and I borrow this actually from IKEA, I've told them this, is the best thing that you can do is to skip the things that are already fully prepared for you. I want you to think about some assembly required. And what some assembly required means is that instead of buying the whole, like, you know, I bought the pasta sauce and the pasta and all of it's mixed together with the meatballs and I'm just going to take that home and heat it up. There might be one night or two nights that needs to happen. But what I'd rather you do is buy quality of the pasta sauce, quality of the pasta, quality of the meatballs or the, if you're doing a vegetarian meatball, and then have those pieces. And the other reason for doing that is that allows you, when you buy those ingredients, to come up with more than one thing to do with those ingredients. So I'm a big believer in leftover ingredients. I'm not a big believer in serving up leftovers the next day because we often are bored with them or sort of like not as excited about them unless it, you know, happened to be a favorite meal. But I'll tell you, the real work actually happens at home as you are making that list. And the reason for that is better nutrition is actually very simple. It does not feel that way, but when you start to learn it, and there is a period of time that it does require getting this skill and learning this because we haven't been taught it, but there are just four things to consider, and this is what influences your grocery shopping list. The first thing to consider is the quality. So when you are grocery shopping, I am going to want you to avoid anything that is made primarily of or contains a lot of what I call chemistry lab projects. And these are the things that they are making in chemistry labs because they can, but if they aren't things that we need to be consuming. So the artificial sweeteners, the artificial colors, the, you know, pulled apart pieces and parts of, you know, when you get flakes of something or pieces of something else, that whole piece. And so I think the quality piece is going to be an important one. I like to remind people how simple USDA organic is. The organic program was designed for a reason. It's a program. It is not a marketing thing. It is a program that talks about the entire system of how food is prepared. And what it really does is it takes on all the different issues that could be facing your food in terms of from a health standpoint. And so I recommend for people to choose organic for what you consume most often or for items that are higher up the food chain. And the real simplicity of that is that if they're higher up the food chain, meaning they're animal or animal products, then it means that they have consumed other things, and it's really important that they are as healthy as possible. So that organic piece, the quality piece, will be important. The other one, and this will impact your grocery shopping, so you're at the grocery store, we need a balance of nutrients in the day. We need carbohydrates, proteins, healthy fats, non-starchy vegetables. And many foods have combinations of these, and they aren't just, you know, one of those. But the interesting thing is that a lot of times when we grocery shop, we actually don't balance out what we're shopping for. And it's kind of like going to, you know, take your car out and having enough gas in your car, but not having enough oil in the engine or air in the tires or having a super, super dirty windshield and you can't really see through it. You're not likely to have an effective drive that day, and you may actually be in danger. And that's going to be an important part. Yeah. And that'll be an important part for you to consider. So one of the things that I do is I say to people, look, I'm looking for you to have nutrient balance at most of your eating occasions. So when you're at the grocery store, what I want to do is make sure that you're balancing out and purchasing from all of those different groups. And so that's where, you know, I remind people, you know, your carbohydrates, and this is all literally fits on one piece of paper that is free as a download on my website. Your carbohydrates, it's reminding people that those are grains and beans and starchy vegetables, dairy if you're having it, some of your non-dairy products, you know, teaching people that hummus is a carbohydrate. I've had people not understand that veggie burgers are a carbohydrate, you know, these sorts of things. And then reminding people where you can find protein. You know, maybe I'm introducing them to hemp seeds. Maybe I'm talking to them about how some nuts have protein and are a good source of protein. And others might have a little bit of protein, but I wouldn't rely on them. I would think of them as more of a primary, a dominant fat source. So if you're having those, you might want to partner those with a protein. And I teach people about plant options primarily because we do know today that a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet. But if you want to accessorize, then I'll say, okay, then let's just look at the quality of the cheese you're having or cottage cheese. Or, you know, if you want to have bison or lamb or if you're like me and you're a little bit more adventurous, I guess, I love sardines or mackerel even, you know, that kind of a thing. And so I'll look at those. And then it's finding where can I get the best quality? And that's where I always come back to the freezer to make sure that, you know, anytime somebody else has taken their time and skill to do something to the food in the store, you are going to be paying more for that. So when we're in a budgeting space, then I'm very careful to make sure that we're paying attention to that piece. And then, you know, we go through and grocery shop for what are your healthier fats. And that way I know that you can now, you know, starting off with your produce all the way through, you can now assemble a bunch of different eating occasions or what I call nutrition pit stops that have that nutrient balance. And you're well on your way. The four pillars are nutrient balance, frequency, quality, and then quantity. And obviously, we need to pay attention to how much we're putting into our body so we don't overwhelm it.
Those are great tips. Excellent. Thank you so much, Ashley. So have a clear agenda. Have a list before you go into the store. Pay attention to produce. Get the colors of the rainbow. Make sure they are all around the house, which I think is a great idea. Easy to, when you're walking through the kitchen, oh, I'm going to grab some grapes. Read the labels to know what's in there and skip things fully prepared. Focus on assembly or some assembly required. Great steps, Ashley. Thank you so much. If we could just touch on the food labels, you brought that up. How do we know what's inside these foods? What should we pay attention to on food labels?
It's probably what we don't need to pay attention to. And I, much to my chagrin, even with the new labels in 2018, they made certain things bigger font and made other things larger, and they happen to be the things that are the most useless to us. So that was kind of a bummer. So, right. You know, it's important to know what calories are, but how much calories are per serving. But what we really want to know is where those calories are coming from. And that's what I was talking about, is something, a carbohydrate, protein, healthy fats. The other thing that is totally useless is that daily value. So just ignore that. That's not going to be helpful. What is helpful is to know what is a serving size. So what I always tell people to do is the serving size is not what is on the label. The serving size is the amount that you consume. That is your serving. So it is helpful to know what the serving size is, so that you know if you eat the whole bag of something, or if you make half of what's in the package, then it can tell you how many of the servings that are in the package, and that can help you back into how much you had. But I think that that's an important thing for people to make sure that they're focused on. It's not just acknowledging what a serving size is and then having three servings. The other thing that's the most important to partner, so when you look at the nutrition facts, which is that panel that shows you the numbers and the amount, then I want you to look below at the ingredients. And everyone needs to know that the first couple of ingredients, they go in descending order. And what that means is that the first ingredient after the word ingredient means that it's in the greatest amount and moving down to the least amount. So that's also going to be a space where, you know, if there is something in there that's like not my favorite ingredient, but it's low down on the list, then I'm going to be much more okay with it than if it's going to be the first ingredient. So another example would be if you think you're buying kale potato chips, or kale popcorn, and you look and kale is like the very last ingredient after seven others, then you're getting whatever the thing is with a dusting of kale. And so that's a really important thing to understand. I much prefer that you see the whole food. Another one, like some of the potato pieces and parts, like potato is great for you. If you were eating potato chips even and you enjoy them, and it says like whole potatoes, and then the next ingredient is oil, and the third ingredient is salt, that's like what I would make in my home. So I tell people with the ingredients to think about it like, are these the ingredients that I would use in my kitchen in order to make this recipe? And if that's the case, then you're probably going to be okay.
That's a great tip. Very good tip. And is there, in general, should we stay away from anything that ends with O-S-E? Like you were saying, you know, fructose, O-S-E, sucralose, O-S-E. Is there a general rule for that? Because you read these labels, you're like, I don't even know what this word is. What is this
so
stuff?
That's actually your answer. So the O-S-E is probably not going to be as much of an issue as if you don't know what the ingredient is. You should know, is this something that I would purchase in the grocery store and use to make my cookie or to use to make whatever it is? So while the OSE is a helpful, or the OL, like, you know, mannitol, or some of the xylitol, or the OSE, you know, if something had glucose, and glucose is the name for sugar, it might not be a problem. It's really more of a problem of if you don't know what that item is, you should not be consuming it.
Good advice. And that's easy for someone like me that doesn't really understand all these words. So that's an easy way, simple step to use when looking at the back of a food label. Ashley, for someone listening who is having trouble taking that first step or just can't stick with it, what would you say to them?
First of all, you are so not alone. And you actually are taking a lot of steps. And that's, I think, one of the biggest flaws where we are today in the nutrition world. I get really upset. I feel when I hear other people in the media, I can often tell immediately if they are someone who works with patients or if they are someone who is more into the branding and the marketing of like what better nutrition or what good nutrition is, hopefully. Because it's not, when we oversimplify it, it's just as bad as when we make it really complicated. And I think what ends up happening is we've made people feel like they are very bad at nutrition. And the reality is that we have been bad, and I say this collectively on behalf of all of my colleagues. I started off also working in advertising and where I worked, my clients were Kellogg's and some of the big food companies, so even the advertisers, the marketers, we have been really bad about oversimplifying or overcomplicating what is some, and not teaching. Instead, we've just been doing more telling and providing of information. So to that individual that wants to get started, the first thing, and I actually have a workbook coming out next month, and this is to show you what I do with my clients and have been doing with my clients for 15 years, my patients. And I have you go through, and we go through everything that you're doing in a day around, you know, so I wake up in the morning and I eat, or I drink water, or I, you know, maybe I walk my dog or get the kids up, like whatever it is. And we go through the whole day. And then we go back and we look at what you're doing in that space. And, you know, I'll tell you this. I've worked with thousands of patients ranging from infants all the way up to really, really elderly, wonder, you know, people who are super healthy, people who are very sick. I have never met somebody who is doing it all wrong. So when we have these programs or these, you know, when people start with this supposition that you have to stop doing everything that you're doing and now start doing what they're advising, and they're not asking the first question, which is, what are you actually doing and what does your lifestyle look like? That's where we run into the problem. So the first thing I would say to that person is, and it's super easy to do, you literally sit down and you write down yesterday, the day before. I like to look at 3 days. What did I have to drink? What did I have to eat? When did I have it? You know, roughly how much of it did I have? And then we start to look at what's working for you and what isn't. And I use those four pillars. And I look at the quality, the quantity, the nutrient balance, and the frequency. And inevitably what comes out is, most of the time I'm challenged by X. So most people have an area that the other areas are working, but there's one area that isn't working for them. And that's the area that we have to start working on for them so they can see the benefit of results in other places. So to simplify that, and what I mean is, maybe you actually are doing great on quality. You pit stop pretty frequently throughout the day, most days. And maybe you're actually doing pretty good with nutrient balance. Like you've been focusing on, you know, making sure I'm not having too much carbohydrate. I tend to get in proteins and fats. I get in some vegetables. But you know what happens is I'm noticing that, especially when I come home in the afternoon, I'm just eating too much in the evening. My quantity is more than I should be having. And so that's what we end up focusing on. And most of the time I find that the people where we're working on quantity, it's because they may have not had something satisfying earlier in the afternoon, or, you know, if they're eating too much in the morning, maybe how their evening went, or, you know, something like that. And so then we sort of look at some of those triggers. So the key thing is to recognize, and to answer your question directly, is actually to flip the question and look at the things that you are successful at and the things that you are doing. Because what we don't want to do is have you change the things that actually are working for you. And the stuff that you do remember to do, like maybe you're just awesome at always remembering to get the kids lunch before they get out the door, or you always remember to send your boss an email before you leave at the end of the day, or you always make time, you know, to check in on your mom in the middle of the day, whatever it is, pay attention to what motivates you to do that. And that's the thing. So I'll give a great example. I had a friend of mine who said, I have bone pain and my vitamin D is low, and the doctor keeps telling me I need, and I've bought 3 different vitamin D's. I have one at the office, one at my house, one by my bed, and I just don't remember to take it. Like I'll take it, you know, once a week. And I said, so it's not going to go up by itself. You know, like we've got to have you taking your vitamin D. And I said, so what's something that you do take? And she said, oh, I take my pills. Like I'm not getting pregnant. And I said, okay. So then we turned around and I said, so let me tell you, your bone pain, and you are also just a family history of colon cancer. I said, so what bone pain is the precursor to is arthritis. And then it means that there's inappropriate inflammation. And it means that I walked her through the health issues. And I said, so while you might not want to get pregnant, I'm certain that you want to try to reduce your risk of colon cancer, and you want to try to maintain healthy bones so that you're less likely to have a fracture, you know, as you age. And I said, so now stick your vitamin D right next to your pill. And that's what you know, it's that motivation. And I got a text from her and she said, I have taken my vitamin D every day for a month. And she was so proud of herself. And I said, that's great. I was like, now I want another month, you know, and we just kind of keep going on that part. So I think that's, you know, we can just feel so overwhelmed. So I guess that's that piece, is try not to feel so overwhelmed and to recognize that you're actually probably doing a heck of a lot right.
Great advice, Ashley. Simple changes throughout the day can really get you started. And remember, if you're feeling bad, you're most likely not doing everything wrong, so you are not alone. Coming up, we get the high five from Ashley Coff. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning, to have more joy. And if we do that, we slowly make the world a better place. I know it sounds silly, but that's what I believe. So if you can, please jump on over to iTunes after the interview with Ashley and rate and review the show. Leave comments. Tell me what you're interested in. Tell me what you're concerned about in life. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that, I would appreciate it. The High Five with Ashley is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, my favorite listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. So I'm listening to Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. It's a really cool book to help you answer the questions that we all seem to ask in life. How can I have more meaning and purpose? It's something we talk about a lot here on Which Way Is Life. So you can check it out for free. It's called Designing Your Life. Download it for free now. Just go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Again, that's audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audio book. Time now for the high five with my guest, Ashley Coff. Ashley, are you ready?
I am. Thank you.
All right. Number one, what is the key to living a healthy, balanced life?
Laughter and recognizing that there is nothing perfect. But I think the two go hand in hand. You got to be able to laugh at yourself, I think.
Either you laugh or you cry. So that's terrific. Yeah. Question number two, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Stop thinking about it. And I might add to that, start doing some of it, but I definitely think to stop thinking about it.
Don't just think about it, do it.
Or start doing it, kind of along start the lines of it. What we were talking about. You know, we can be paralyzed by our thoughts about how difficult or scary or something might be. And when you start to put one foot in front of the other, you start to create a path.
Right. Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. I like it. If you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
Wow, this is a tough one. I am going to go in my present moment because I am fascinated, and I've actually been fascinated since the fifth grade, and I did a report on the brain. But I am learning all about what they call our white sausage, and that's myelin, M-Y-E-L-I-N, which is actually the sausagey white material that wraps around our neurons and synapses and helps us to fire them more efficiently. And the book, The Talent Code, is absolutely incredible because, and it's a very easy read about something that sounds extremely complicated and daunting. And the reason that it's an easy read is that the author does a great job of explaining myelin by way of using examples of different talent pockets around the world or different people and their stories of how they've developed their talent, which the interesting outcome of is really that it's about skill. It's about that hard work. It sort of picks up off the Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours.
Absolutely.
And really looks at, it may not actually even need to be that many hours, but it may, you've got to do the work and you also want to do the work efficiently so that you get the greatest results. And it's really fascinating to understand that we are actually all wired for incredible success, especially under the age of 50. So it's a little depressing when we think about after 50, but that's okay.
Oh, so thanks. So if you're over 50, that's it. You're over then.
It's
no, I'm
not,
kidding.
So the good news
I'm
is
kidding.
That's not it. That's not
I'm
it.
Kidding.
And I do a lot of, I'm doing a lot of work with nutrition to support our existing myelin and our brain health as we go 50, 60, 70, 80. So we'll stick around on that part.
Well, good,
sure.
Good. Keep up that good work. Okay, The Talent
right.
Code, right? The Talent
That's
Code
the
is
talent
the name
code.
Of that book. Okay,
yeah.
What is your favorite health app or health resource you can share?
That's a tough one. I can tell you so many of the apps that I do not find helpful. So I'm going to take this in a little bit of a different direction. I am going to actually say Spotify. And the reason for that is I was never somebody who, I will say as a youngster, you know, we made like mixtapes and we did all of that. And then I think I had this whole period of time where I just got away from creating my own playlists and all of that stuff. And Spotify has done something really incredible for me, which has been to help me harness the power of changing my state by using music. And so that can be if I'm really, you know, stressed out. It's not that I need to put on a song that just makes me happy. You know, I'm like, oh, I have to be happy all the time. But I can listen to something that helps me actually breathe. I may actually take, you know, shut out other noise because I'm listening to it. And actually listening to classical music has really helped me focus when I'm doing certain writing and things like that. So I use my, I have different playlists and the ability to shuffle through the songs to really see what grabs me and can shift my state to where I want it to be is really helpful. So I'm going to use Spotify.
I love that. I'm a huge lover of music, and I believe music is the window to the soul and can help you in a variety of ways. So love to hear you mention that. And question number five, Ashley, answer this question, or finish this sentence, rather. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned. It will sound oversimplified to say it's better to give than receive. But the interesting thing that I have learned is that, so I'm somebody who loves to do things and to give and to teach people. I want to nurture someone and you know, help them be their best self rather than trying to have them do it my way or do it for them, you know, that kind of a thing. So I'm not sure what the efficient way to say that is, but that's definitely something, I feel that that's a great lesson that I've learned.
Well, you can't force somebody to do something. They have to want it for themselves.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point, right? Which is if you do it for them, they will have the experience of having it done. But if you later on do things for them, then they don't have the journey. And we are all our individual selves, a product of our journeys. And so it really is actually cheating them and in a way forming them. That's not really your right. So I think that that's an important thing. Sometimes you just have to sit back and watch someone do what they're going to do, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Ashley. Well, thank you so much. How can we connect with you?
Thanks. So I also have a podcast. It's called The Takeout with Ashley and Robin. We would love to have you on. I think it'd be really fun to talk about actually talking to a lot of health-focused people. And
I would love it.
Sort of common themes. And then the other part is I do a lot on social media, so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all of my handles are some iteration of Ashley Koff approved, and my last name is K-O-F as in Frank, F as in Frank.
Sounds good, and we'll have all that information on our show notes page. Ashley, thank
Great.
You once again. I appreciate it greatly. And remember, enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Thanks again, Ashley, and thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And if I can ask a favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And the only way we can do that is if you rate it, which helps the show gain more visibility. You can leave a review as well. I would love to see it. And if you could do that, I would really appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. Please hit me up on Twitter at Which Way Is Life, same on Facebook. And you can check out all the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.